I'm John Gray, and welcome to John Gray's World.
He did not stay dead. He rose on the third day. He is currently seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. And one day he will crack the sky at the last trumpet sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and those that remain will be caught up to meet him in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Comfort one another with these words. I need everything in here that's got hands to give God praise.
Fresh word, fresh perspective, and a whole lot of hallelujah. John Gray's World. Boo!
God bless you, family. It's John Gray. I missed you. I'm so glad to see you. I hope you're having a blessed day. Or if things are especially challenging for you right now, I'm just glad you tuned in. Because today, we're going to look away from the surface of your problem, the fruit, and deal with the root issue. The only way we can do that is by focusing on Jesus. This whole thing hinges on Jesus. Our faith centers on the person of Jesus. And guess what? Jesus is alive, and it's time to refocus on how his victory over Satan applies practically to the affairs of your everyday life. Listen, all things begin and end with Jesus. If you need deliverance from a bad habit, the answer is in Jesus. If it's healing you need, he is your healer. Or if you're concerned about a wayward child, he is still the answer. So listen to today's teaching with your faith ears wide open as we share a teaching I call The Problem with Jesus. Before you get upset with that title, listen to the message, press the red DVR button, and call somebody. Girl, the title is called The Problem with Jesus. Let me see what he's talking about. This is the Lenten season. This is a season where we celebrate the most significant event in the history of the human race. We celebrate the resurrection, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. In this Lenten season, we prepare our minds to really focus in on what it is God did for us through his Son. Well, let me be honest with you. It's not easy, because there are certain things in the Bible that are very difficult to grasp. I can be honest to tell you, I don't fully understand every concept in these 66 books. I don't understand all of it. And if you're honest, neither do you. Why are you looking at me like, that's a shame. You up here preaching, you don't even understand what you're talking about. I didn't say I don't understand what I'm about to say. I just don't understand it all. Why are you judging? It's not easy. Some of this stuff in the Bible is not easy. Clearly, some of the people in the Bible in the Old Testament were black, because some of these names is Shishisha and Quenica and Shamazah Caesar. They black. I don't understand them names. Clearly, there are some places that I don't get understanding yet, but it doesn't stop me from attempting to learn. And I thank God that you, like me, are hungry for the next place of revelation in God. I am going to endeavor tonight to talk about something that I think is relevant across the world. Because the more I come to this church, the more I realize, who wouldn't want to be here? Like, seriously, who wouldn't want to be a part of this church? Last week, Dr. Paul talked about mercy triumphing over judgment. What a phenomenal word. And he talked about the young man that was at Bible school with his father and how he only had one outfit and how they laughed at him to the point that he said, I can't take it anymore. I'm going home. And he said, what could he have been had they shown him mercy, had they extended grace? And that message impacted me, and I knew as soon as I left, I was gonna have an opportunity to either be judgmental or to extend mercy. And sure enough,
That's what happened. That's when you know you're in the right ground, in the right season, when the Lord immediately begins to prod and to prime the word that's been received. It's my prayer that I will continue that on tonight. Well, Dr. Paul, I've been trying to figure it out, man, because, you know, this place is amazing, okay? The people are really awesome. I mean, they love God. They smiling in the hallway, and it's real. It's not like that weird, like, hi, praise the Lord. It's not that. It's like, what's up? Praise God. How you doing? Everybody's been so sweet. Everybody's kind. And I'm sure you have bad days, but there's just something. Let's be honest. There's something about somebody that comes to this church. There's just something different. And I believe it extends from the leadership. Who wouldn't want to be here? I know it's raining, but it always rains. I don't stop nobody from going to a concert. It don't stop you going to a sporting event. Oh, it's raining. Jesus don't need me tonight. You didn't want to come. It's raining. Oh, it's too hot. It's too cold. Whatever. When you love somebody, rain, sleet, snow, it don't matter. I'm getting to Jesus. Who wouldn't want to be a part of a church that has love, reconciliation, hope, healing, forgiveness, strength, commitment, humility, the Holy Spirit? Who wouldn't want that? More than that, if I think about the body of Christ worldwide, when you think about the founding principles of the church, who doesn't want that? In fact, if you look at the principles of the church and the best nonprofit and for-profit organizations and businesses, the principles are the same. Treat each other how you want to be treated. Consider others better than yourself. Love your neighbor. Pray for those who hate on you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who spitefully use you. Extend a helping hand to people who have less. Give and so somebody else can be blessed. Cover other people. Don't judge them. Just cover them. You don't know why people do what they do or how they ended up where they ended up. More than that, you don't know where they're going to end up, because where I am is not where I'm going to be. Who wouldn't want to be a part of an organization that espouses unconditional love, forgiveness? More than that, I got a piece of real estate with my name on it, already paid off. Somebody else made it, a house not made with hands, and I don't have to go get it, and I don't have to sign no mortgage, ain't no 30-year lease or mortgage, whatever. It's already paid off, and it was paid off in blood. Who wouldn't want that? Who wouldn't want that? But the reality is, there are some people that don't want it. How could you not want it? The best businesses run on biblical principles. The best organizations run on principles that are rooted in the Bible. Why isn't this place packed every time the doors open? I found out, in spite of all of the great things that the church represents, we have a problem. We got a problem, and I'm gonna have to talk to you about our problem. We gotta get through it tonight. In Luke chapter 19, we get a glimpse of our problem. Luke chapter 19, verse 28. Reading from the New King James Version, I'm gonna read very fast. When he had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. And it came to pass, when he drew near, and the city is pronounced Bethphage and Bethany, at the mount called Olivet, that he sent two of his disciples, saying, go into the village opposite you. Whereas you enter, you will find a colt tied on which no one has ever sat. Loose it and bring it here. And if anyone asks you, why are you loosing it? Thus you shall say to him, because the Lord has need of it. So those who were sent went, So those who were sent went their way and found it just as he said to them. But as they were loosing the colt, the owners of it said to them, "Why are you loosing the colt?" And they said, "The Lord has need of him." Then they brought him to Jesus, and they threw their own clothes on the colt, and they set Jesus on him. And as he went, many spread their clothes on the road. Then, as he was now drawing near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen, saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." And some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd. There's always somebody in the crowd. Always somebody want to start sneaking and scooching and whispering from the side. Always somebody up behind somebody else. Hey! And then they want to hide. It's always somebody in the crowd, always trying to be anonymous. You will always have negative voices. You will always have people that don't see what you see, won't celebrate what you celebrate, don't understand and don't want to understand what you've come to know as the truth. There'll always be whispers, but you've got to respond the way this man responded. And they said, "Hey, teacher, rebuke your disciples." But he answered and said to them, "I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out." I'm getting ready to run all through this nicely carpeted sanctuary. This scripture finds Jesus heading into Jerusalem for the last time. You already know what happens a week from this moment. They're cheering you on right now, but a week from now, you're going to be on the cross. The same people, "Jesus, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, save now. Glory to God in the highest." A week later, "Crucify him. Give us Barabbas. We don't want Jesus." But here, at this moment, his disciples and all the people that had been watching were waiting for Jesus to turn into what they wanted him to become. And I want to tell you, I figured out why the church across the world is not packed, why people don't want to be bothered. We got a problem. Our problem's name is Jesus. And what I want to talk to you tonight about is the problem with Jesus. Lord, open ears and hearts and let them not be shocked by the title, but let them be prepared for the glorious conclusion to this dilemma, the problem with Jesus. The problem with Jesus. On the surface, it would be an offensive title for a Christian message, until you realize that really what I'm saying is the church would be packed if it wasn't for Jesus. Because Jesus changes things. Nobody is offended by the concept of God. Even if you don't believe in God, the concept of God is very generic. But when you take the ethereal concept of God and bring it into the form of a man, now we got a problem. God loves you. God is in the trees. God is in the butterflies. And God loves you. And he's in the air. And God is on the birdies. And God is, he's with the. But when you say Jesus, now we got a problem, because Jesus cannot be dismissed. The concept of God can become subjective based on your understanding of that term. But Jesus is a historical fact. I feel the Holy Ghost. That Jesus lived is a matter of historical record. That he lives is a statement of my faith. And the problem is that there are people who refuse to believe that Jesus died and that was it. Historians would say he was a good man from all historical accounts, and he died an unfortunate death, and that was it. But the problem is, too many people believe that wasn't the end of the story. I got some people in here who know what I'm talking about. My problem is that I believe that Jesus didn't stay dead too long. My problem is that 3 days is what it cost him to redeem my soul, but he did not stay dead. He rose on the third day. He is currently seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us, and one day he will crack the sky at the last trumpet sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and those that remain will be caught up to meet him in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Comfort one another with these words. I need everything in here that's got hands to give God praise. I'm looking at you. Give God praise. Don't make me come up there. Give him about 5 more seconds of "I got here in the rain" praise. The problem with Jesus is that he said, "I'm the way, the truth." The problem with truth is that you can't manipulate it. You can't alter it, Dr. Paul. The truth is what it is. I can say what I want, but the truth simply stands there unmoved and unaffected. I am that I am. The problem with the church is it's founded upon a man, but he wasn't just a man, he was God as well. He was fully man and fully God. He was 200%. I'm trying to get some help over here. It's about to be real Pentecostal on this right-hand side. And you at home, you can shout. Don't worry about your landlord. They ain't even home. You might as well go ahead and praise God at the kitchen table. Go ahead and grab your wife's hand and go ahead and take a praise break. Because we down here in Houston in the rain. But let it rain. Let it rain. Let it rain. Pray for the rain in the time of the spring rain. It means pray for favor while favor is falling. God, let it rain. You're getting ready for spring. Let it replenish the earth. Prepare us for the shift that's occurring in the atmosphere. We receive. I need some help in this section right here. Y'all look a little tired. Don't mind us in here. The Spirit of the Lord is stirring us in this room. The problem with Jesus is that he doesn't play political games. See, the Jews had been oppressed by the Romans for a little while. And they thought that when Jesus showed up on the scene, started doing all these miracles, started with him going to a wedding. And they was just in there doing the electric slide. And his mama came over there. Jesus, he's like, "Hold on, I'm doing a dance. Hold on, let me turn." Bam, "What you want, mama?" He's like, "Hey, they done ran out of wine." He was like, "Cool, why you telling me? I'm in the middle of the dance." And he was like, "Because they need wine." He was like, "All right, just go get some water, put it in some jars." And he turned water into wine. And they said, "Wow, you saved the best for last. How'd you take new water and make it taste like old wine?" What God is doing is he's bringing a new hunger and a new passion with the foundation of the old heart and the old principles of the word, the ancient foundational principles. Yeah, we're a technological generation, but don't forget your hymns. And don't forget what got grandma through and auntie and uncle through. It's new wine, but it tastes old. I'm trying to help somebody in here. It's the best of both worlds. I'm trying to help somebody. The problem with Jesus is that he started doing miracles, healing people, messing up people's plans. 12 years, issue of blood, healed. Little girl dead, healed. Widower with her only son up on the in the coffin, Jesus interrupts the funeral. Don't you start with me in here. I know I'm supposed to be more proper right now because we have an international audience, but I'm so glad I serve a Jesus that can interrupt a funeral. Stops a funeral in his tracks. Get up, sir. God's not finished with you yet. Deaf ears open. Can you hear me now? Blinded eyes. I can see. I'm telling you, Jesus was a problem. People didn't know how to take him. What is he? Is he a prophet? Is he a man? Is he a man of God? Is he Elijah? Is he John the Baptist? We just cut off John the Baptist's head. Did he come back? Is this Thriller? What is going on? People coming out the grave. We need to know. His name is Jesus. Jesus Christ. All right. Focus, people. The problem is Jesus would not change for people. They wanted him to be a political figure, and people still try to use Jesus as a political figure, but Jesus will not lower himself to play politics. As he was heading into the city from the Mount of Olives, as he was descending, they start shouting, ha ha, here comes Mashiach, Messiah. He's coming to break the rule of the Romans. He's going to break us and free us from the oppression of the Romans. He's thinking to himself, I am, but not how you want me to. The problem with Jesus is that he wouldn't play political games. He wasn't here to overthrow Caesar. He was here to overthrow the devil. I wish I had some help in here tonight. Y'all got me dropping napkins over the church. Can somebody just give God praise? Because Jesus came to overthrow the devil. He came to undo the works of the devil, make him an open spectacle. The problem with Jesus is that no matter what people wanted him to be, he would be nothing less than what he was called to be. The problem with the church is we want Jesus to be less than who he is. We want you to conform to the new era church. The new era church doesn't have the same standards. God is love, and God loves everyone, and God loves everything, and you can do whatever you want. Yes and no.
Come on now. Now you know that was good. Go on and shout. You can never go wrong talking about and exalting the name of Jesus. He is our Savior. In the midst of life, we need to be constantly reminded of this truth. That's why I put together this new teaching, The Cure, Finding Victory Over the Disease of Sin. God wants you to look to him for everything because he included everything in Christ's salvation package. We want to share this awesome resource so you can realize you have a God focused on saving you daily. Jesus' saving power is not only available to you during the born-again experience, but each and every day of your life. This teaching series is our gift to you.
You may know Jesus as your Savior, but did you know that the high price he paid for your salvation extends beyond the forgiveness of your sins? Jesus himself has overthrown Satan and obtained eternal victory. He made a way for the salvation he gave you to touch every area of your life. In his new series, The Cure, Pastor John Gray reveals how salvation is not simply a ticket to heaven. It's a vibrant and active gift from God that can revive your emotions, health, relationships, work, and finances. Striking the perfect balance of scriptural illumination and his own personal experience, John Gray will show you how Jesus is the cure for every broken area of your life. TBN wants to bless you with this life-restoring resource as our way of saying thank you for your gift of support. Your generosity makes you a media missionary, ensuring that messages like the one you just watched are taken to others waiting to hear and experience the hope and grace of Jesus.
When you begin to see Jesus' death and resurrection as the answer to every issue, from sin to financial issues, you'll begin to walk more confidently, knowing his grace is always working on your behalf. God has left nothing to chance about your life. So make sure you get the Cure series and continue feeding on this revelation.
For your gift of $70 or more, we would like to bless you with Bethel Music's CD/DVD, We Will Not Be Shaken, chronicling a night of mountaintop worship. this live recording focuses on God's promises and the strength we find in Jesus in any season of life. Take a moment to call 866-274-3700 or visit us securely online to share a gift and request your copy of The Cure. Unleash the power and salvation in your life as you embrace the fullness of your salvation in Jesus. Call, click, or write today.
You know, when you give to TBN to keep the gospel on air 24/7 all around the world, you're essentially becoming a media missionary. Yeah, I like that. A media missionary. You're literally sending Jesus and his message to places you may never visit. But from God's perspective, it's as if you went as his personal emissary to share the light with someone who has yet to experience Christ's salvation. For that, we are truly grateful. Now make sure you tune in to hear more of the Cure series, because God wants you living confidently in his grace. I look forward to our next time together right here on John Gray's World. Boo! Love you. Boo! Be blessed. Boo! Hit you with the three times.